Good morning. I've been talking with a lot of different people in our church, outside of our church, and over the past, I would say a couple of months, people have expressed a lot of concern over the 2 years that we've been involved in COVID right now, in the pandemic, and how it's impacted our country. I mean, it's impacted us physically, mentally, spiritually. Has impacted our economy. Has impacted our politics, our social issues, our relationships. And I suspect that all of us have had some deep fears inside of us, not knowing what the future holds. I mean, we've seen things in the economy that we haven't seen, I don't know, in my whole lifetime in business, where you see people, the supply chain has been so impacted, and people ordering things that they're not getting until a year down the line, you know? And it's really been different. You've seen the crazy prices that have gone up on the housing market here in this Southern California area. It's crazy. And I think for all of us, there's kind of a feeling of, what is this going to, how's this going to work out? How's this going to turn out? So this morning, I kind of want us to take a look at a very short story of Jesus doing something very incredible in his conversation with his disciples. And it's actually a time when I hope that all of us will come face to face with some of our fears, and that that we'll actually choose faith over fear. That we'll choose faith over fear. Learning to trust God in the midst of whatever situation we are in. And if you are in a crisis right now, I hope that this really speaks to you, but you don't have to be in a crisis now to allow it to speak to you. So I'm just praying that God will speak into your life. The Synoptic Gospels, which is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, because they're very similar, all record this story about Jesus. And we'll pick it up in Matthew chapter 8, verse 23 through 27. And I'm going to use the parallel passage, Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41, as our basis. Matthew 8, 23. Then he got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. The parallel passage to that is Mark 4, 35. It says, that evening, when evening came, he said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side. So they're on this side of the Lake of Galilee, and they're going to the other side toward the north, or from the north to the southern side on the eastern shores of the lake. And in these passages, we see that Jesus is taking the lead. He's the one that says that we're going to go over to the other side. He's the rabbi, he's the leader, and he's the one who initiates the plan to go over to the other side. The disciples did what they normally do, which is follow Jesus, right? And look at verse 24. It says, without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. In Mark, it says, a furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Okay? Now, even when Jesus leads, a furious storm came upon them. And Matthew describes the suddenness of this storm without warning. He says, without warning, that it just happened really quick. I remember when we were in hockey and we went to Florida and we were going to Gatorland and we're walking along there. And I didn't know this, but there's a big statue kind of like alligator. And I'm walking there and I turn. And I thought it was real. And I mean, I just jumped out of my skin because it was a huge one. And I had seen some of those huge alligators. And I'm thinking, there's one walking around, you know? But it was so sudden. I mean, I just jumped in fear. And I mean, everybody was laughing at me, but it's that unexpected thing. And you know, most of us, when we look at something, we can look at the weather and say, hey, it looks like it's going to rain. So you can kind of prepare for the rain. But a storm without warning is something very different. Not only is the storm sudden and unexpected, but this storm is so violent that the disciples thought, this is it. This is the knockout punch. They were expecting to go down for the count. And they felt helpless because the waves are sweeping over the boat, and the boat is being capsized, nearly swamped by all the water. And not only that, the fishermen, Peter, James, John, Andrew, they were expert seamen, and they didn't feel like they were a match for the storm. I mean, this was violent. That even Jesus' presence on the boat doesn't drive out their fear. In fact, later on they're going to say, teacher, don't you care? Aren't you scared? Right? Man, this is that whole idea. Don't you care if we drown? And I love the way it's described. The storm is described as a furious storm. Furious storm. It's like it was an angry storm. And Matthew uses the word, the Greek word, seismos, to describe the storm. Seismos is the word that we get seismologist. When there's like an earthquake, people who study seismic events. And this passage is one of the 14 times that word is used. And in all the other 13 times, that word describes an earthquake. That's how violent and how incredibly earth-shaking, in that sense, that sea was. It describes the force of nature that causes an upheaval. You know, Nay and I were given, for our anniversary a couple of years ago, a stay at one of the Los Angeles hotels. It was a very nice hotel. And we were there, and we were, I think, on the 23rd or 24th floor, and there was an earthquake that happened. And that earthquake, when you're up that high, it's like a shift. It's really kind of scary. And when it happened, I went, whoa. And then I was going to the door, and I could hear people screaming, you know, like they're trying to run to the exits like that. And I don't know, Nay and I were both there, and we thought, if this is it, this is it. So, because the way it was shaking, you know, and in my mind like that. But when you're in the midst of something like that, the immediate reaction is like, whoa, what's going on? There's fear. When Matthew uses this word, it's a time when Jesus talks about the end times, and he says, nation will rise against nation, kingdoms against kingdoms. There will be famines and earthquakes, seismos in various places. Do you remember when Jesus was on the cross and he says, it is finished? And then there was a huge earthquake that happened, and it tore the veil in the temple. And the centurion was there, and he said, you know, he saw the earthquake and all that had happened, and they were terrified and exclaimed, surely he was the Son of God. And another time is on resurrection morning when Mary Magdalene, they come to the tomb, and there's a violent earthquake or seismos, and an angel of the Lord comes down from heaven and rolls away the stone. This is what is happening here. It's this passage that says it's a furious storm. There's a seismos that's happening, and it came upon that lake, and the waves were sweeping over them. I want to explain something here. This is important. Jesus led the way, and the disciples experienced this seismic event. So I got 3 points in this message, and this is the first point. Expect the unexpected storms. Expect the unexpected storms, even when we follow the lead of Jesus. Expect the unexpected storms. We are not immune from the storms. We are not immune from the seismos of life because we follow Jesus. Some people think if they are in the center of God's will, then he will protect us from the storm. And that's not true. It's not the absence of storms that sets us apart as followers of Jesus. It's how we respond in the midst of those storms that mark us. Will we respond in faith or will we respond in fear? Have you ever seen people in the midst of a seismos? Maybe they're at work or they're in a place. Their seismos might be their spouse just walked out on them. Their spouse, seismos might be that they're failing or they're being laid off or they're being fired. And people, when that happens, you see what is really inside of them, what they really trust. If they trust in themselves, then it's going to be all about them. They're going to try to figure out a solution on their own. And you'll look to deflect the responsibility. You'll blame God or blame other people. But these seismos events, they bring out, what do we really place our hope and trust in? And maybe this is the picture that God is showing us, that sudden storms elicit a response. How will we respond? Will we turn to Him or will we look to ourselves? Let's continue on with the story. In Matthew 8:24, it says, when the seismos is happening, but Jesus was sleeping. In Mark chapter 4, it says, Jesus was in the stern or the rear of the boat, sleeping on a cushion. Jesus was sleeping. I mean, it almost seems comical, doesn't it? In the midst of all the panic, Jesus is taking a nap. The boat is rocking violently. The waves are crashing over the boat. The winds are tipping the boat from its side to side. And there's Jesus snoozing. I mean, he's sound asleep. The seismos of this squall doesn't even wake him up. It's the disciples that wake him up. And I suspect for all of us, we have felt that feeling sometimes, that we are experiencing some sudden unexpected storm in our lives, and we kind of feel like God doesn't see what's going on, that he's sleeping, that maybe he doesn't know what's going on in ours. You know, sometimes those kind of times where you get the news that your mom passed away or you have cancer, or your child has cancer, or there's a divorce, you know, you can feel like the earth is quaking. And I really appreciate the disciples' response in this. In verse 25, it says, the disciples went and woke him, saying, Lord, save us. We are going to drown. In Mark, it says, the disciples woke him and said to him, Teacher, don't you care if we drown? I mean, They're coming to Jesus. The disciples go to Jesus. And I'll tell you something, that's never a wrong thing to do, to go to Jesus, right? The disciples didn't just sit there and just think, oh, okay, I bought the farm. They went to Jesus and said, don't you care? Help! Help us! Lord, save us! We're going down for the count. And if you've been in pastoral ministries for any length of time, you will know that not all people do that. A lot of people don't turn to God when they're going through these seismic events. Seismos, something that's so, it upheaves everything in their lives. They still won't. Even when they have no control over things, so oftentimes they'll try to figure it out on their own. They won't look. Even when their world is falling apart and they're still trying to figure out how to solve it on their own. People are so unwilling to turn to Christ for help. Maybe it's pride. Maybe it is our own insecurities. But sometimes we just don't want to surrender to God. But the disciples had no problems at all. They turn to Jesus and they cry out, Lord, save us. Mark records a question that strikes at the heart of most of our fears. It's this, Teacher, don't you care if we drown? Don't you care if we drown? That question is what people ask all the time. Don't you care if my mother is in pain? Don't you care that this father lost his son? Don't you care that my wife walked out on me? Don't you care that I lost my job? Don't you care? There's something really interesting about fear. It reveals something about us. At the core of the question, don't you care, is the thought that God has forgotten us or abandoned us or doesn't care about us. In essence, when we see the waves, when we see the winds blowing, we don't have the confidence or the trust that God is there with us. In the storm, in that seismos, it's easy for the quaking and trembling to be bigger than Jesus in our minds. You know, I share that time when I was in the hotel. When you're up that high and it's just shaking, it feels like you have no control. You can't find a stable place, you know. And it's just shaking. That's how it feels like. So here's my point number two. Okay. Understand what fear and faith is. What it is and what it is not. Understand what fear and faith is. What it is and what it isn't. Jesus' response to the disciples is very interesting. In Matthew 8:26, he says this, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Now, sometimes Jesus asks some of the most obvious questions. He asked the man that was sick for 38 years. He was lame. He says, "Do you want to be healed?" And I relate this to, like, with my boys when they were young. I say, "You want a spanking?" I mean, I could see Kenny saying, let me think about that, you know. But why are you so afraid? Well, because we're going to drown, because the waves are overwhelming us, because we're in a storm, and we've never seen a storm like this before, because we are helpless in the middle of this powerful storm. But I think that Jesus' question is really a question we need to ask. When we are in the midst of a storm, we need to stop and ask, why are we so afraid? It was obvious that the disciples believed that Jesus could help them, or they wouldn't have come to him, right? But did they really believe that they would all perish before Jesus' ministry and mission was complete? Did God somehow abandon Jesus' ministry? Did they think they were going to go down on the count? And here's the difference between unhealthy fears and faith and trust in God. The crux of an unhealthy fear is this, to believe a lie that drives us away from God. That's the crux of an unhealthy fear, is to believe a lie that drives us away from God. God has abandoned you. He doesn't care. That is a lie. The crux of faith is to believe the truth that drives us to God. God will never leave you or forsake you. That is the truth. One is about taking in a lie. One is taking in the truth. One drives us away from God. One drives us toward God. You know, unhealthy fears cause spiritual amnesia. We forget about God's faithfulness, right? We forget about his truth. Unhealthy fear sucks the life out of our souls because fear can be consuming. We were just talking about this in the Sunday school, Sunday morning Bible study, about how fear can seize us and it can consume us. It can suck away the life in us. Fear's focus is on the storm. Faith's focus is on God. Fear's focus is on the storm. Faith's focus is on God. Fear chases faith away, but faith can chase fear away. Will you believe a lie, or will you believe the truth? Do you believe that God will never leave you or forsake you? Saying we have faith in God, but acting fearful, probably demonstrates that we don't have the faith that we profess. Because Jesus is always calling us to trust him, to have faith in him. I want to say this. Faith in God is a process. Faith in God is a process. Having faith in anyone is a process, right? You have to know the character of a person to determine if you can trust in that person. And we see that in the lives of the disciples. They really think Jesus is something else. But then there's times when they will falter because they don't trust what's happening. And they falter. But slowly they start to learn more and more about Jesus. And they learn to trust him more. And here's something, I want to say this. Some people mistake faith with receiving results from God. Some people mistake faith with receiving the results, like what you pray for from God, those results as faith. And there is a big difference between what faith really is. Faith is just trusting in the person and character of God that he knows what is best. And sometimes we don't get what we want or what we pray for. But faith is about trusting God that he knows all things and his purposes are more important than getting the results we want. You understand the difference? Faith is trusting God that God has a bigger picture and he sees with much more clarity than how we see things. I shared about this before, but there's two incidences I can remember in my life, two times when I told my son, my oldest son, Jared, when he was young, trust me. You know that Nixon, trust me kind of a thing? One time we were in the pool and he had a boat. And I liked coming under him and lifting up the boat from underneath. And I said, grab onto the boat. You know, hang on to it. Trust me, you'll be okay. Well, one time I did that and I lifted him up high and I could feel nothing. And there was, we were on the end, there was Jared just, and he's drinking water, you know. It took me a little while to realize where he was. Oh man, the look on his face. Trust me, huh? The other time, and I've shared this with you before, but we went to Disney World, and I was on a trip, and I took Jared with me. My wife wasn't with me. We're getting in the line for Snow White. Snow White, G movie, Snow White. And he, as he was going, he could hear things, and he was like, Dad, I don't want to go. I said, Jared, it's okay. It's Snow White. That's a scary ride for a little kid. I mean, he was bawling all the way as things were going, and I'm trying to cover his ears. I'm trying to cover his eyes, you know. Oh, my gosh. We came out of there. I mean, he could have asked me for anything. I would have bought him anything because he was crying so badly. And I think about those times when I said, trust me, Jared, trust me. But as much as I have failed him in those two incidences that I remember, I think he still does trust me. You'll have to ask him for yourself. But I mean, I think he trusts me because he knows that I do care for him, that I don't want to intentionally harm him, that he knows how much I love him. And this is something important. You have to feel like you can trust somebody. This story helps us to understand why Jesus is worthy to be trusted. The next thing that happens will blow the minds of the disciples. Man, maybe you've heard this story so often, but you think just, oh, ho-hum about it. But what Jesus does is nothing short of amazing. In verse 26, Matthew 8, 26, he says, then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. He actually commanded nature's elements. Now, okay, I don't think I'm getting the reaction I want, but if I could have taken you into that hotel room we were at and when the earthquake happened, and I opened the door to see what's going on, and people were screaming. If at that moment I could have yelled out, "Earth, be still," and it was all calm, I could have preached a message that every one of those people would have listened to me. Because the fear that was there and how you respond to it is different. And this is what Jesus did. I mean, he gets up and he commands the winds and the waves. And it says he rebukes. It's a strong word. I mean, he's reprimanding the winds and the waves, right? Quiet, be still. And it's almost like the winds and the waves were an entity of its own self. And they're out of control. And Jesus says, be still. He rebukes them. And everything becomes calm. And in Luke's passage, you know what the disciples, it says, in fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him?" I mean, the disciples were both amazed and sort of terrified. Who is this? What kind of man is this? They're both just amazed and terrified because the winds and the waves obeyed him. They had seen him heal the sick. He had cast out demons. He healed the paralytic. He healed the leper. He turned the water into wine. But this just seems like it's a different realm to command the forces of nature. He actually commands the winds and the waves, and the winds and the waves obey him. What kind of man is this? You know what they came to understand? And it was starting to sink into their hearts that Jesus was no ordinary. Even if he was a gifted man, he was no ordinary gifted man. What they would come to understand is what we've been talking about during Christmas, that Jesus was God in the flesh. Jesus was the God-man, that only God could do the things that Jesus did: forgive sins, heal the blind, lame, and deaf, command nature's elements, walk on water, and die on the cross for the sins of mankind. They understood that Jesus was God. This leads to my third, really most important point. Settle the questions of faith before the storms come. Settle the questions of faith before the storms come. Do you care? The question and answer was settled at the cross. Do you care? When you ask God, do you care? The question and answer was settled at the cross. He cared enough to die for us. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Will you ever leave me? Hebrews 13:5 says this: never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Is God able? The story shows his ability. The resurrection proved to the disciples that he is more than able. The fear of death no longer holds us captive. Jesus conquered death. He is able to do far more than we ask or imagine, Ephesians 3:20. And you know, many, many years after this, the Apostle Peter would say, cast all your anxiety, your fears, your worries on him because he cares for you. Believe the truth. Do not believe the lie. Be convinced before you go through a seismos that God cares, that God will never leave you or forsake you. Settle those questions. It is understanding this that helped the disciples one day give no thought to their safety or their well-being, but they would courageously stand and proclaim that Jesus was the way, the truth, and the life, and they would proclaim the truth even at the cost of their lives. You may not realize this, but one day, if you ever got into a situation, God can give you the strength to trust. In that hotel, I thought to myself, if I'm going to die, it's nice to have my wife with me. But there was, I don't know, we kind of felt like, whoa, and then it was weird, but it was like a calm that if we're going to go down, it's nice to be with your spouse. But not only that, just like, it's nice to think that God holds all things in his hands and we can trust him. Where fear reigned with the disciples, faith trumped their fears. Courage replaced fear, and they acted with faith as they proclaimed the good news of Jesus. So here's my last thing, and it's the title of the message, Choose Faith Over Fear. In these times, we live in a time when there are going to be people who are very fearful of many things. Be a person of faith that trusts God. Understand that he is with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. You are never alone when you place your trust in God. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I don't know if there's somebody here who is very fearful, but there are people in this world, in our country, that are fearful. Lord, help us to choose faith over fear. Help us to learn to trust you, Lord, to know that a God who would humble himself to become human, die on the cross for our sins, so that we can spend eternity with him, understands all things, and that he is someone we can fully trust. Help us to be those people, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.